Shir Vavim Bava Kama Yotes El Eitov Shim Mebei, September 7, 1982, on Tuesday, continued.
According to the way the Rambam passed it, like Rabbi Yeshua, so Stam Shvodim is the Chesed kind. So the ordinary acts at the very outset is presumed innocent, restraining, discipline. So the melee, when an axe falls because the owner didn't exercise the proper care over the axe, so that means that he is very slightly negligent. He's very slightly negligent. Stam Shwam has a Shibakan. But a Shiramwit, who already falls three times, if he already killed any living things, not that problem, if the axe kill three behemoths, so that shows that that axe is a ferocious axe, beyond any question. So then, and the owner, after taking notice of the fact that his axe killed three behemoths, he still refrained from controlling and taming the axe and exercising the proper care of the axe, and because of his negligence and his failure to exercise the care of the axe, the fourth time killed a human being, then he's grossly negligent. So there is no doubt that he's very negligent. In other words, so as far as the field kefer by Shemuel is concerned, why is Shemuel distinguished from the Shemuel? Not because of an extensive, of course it is a psychosis, everything is grounded in the psychosis. But the essence of the Zerasakosu in respect to Shiramwe, the owner being Mechuyev Kefer, the owner being Mechuyev Yisri Shemayim, is based upon the gross negligence. So which owner of an axe is considered grossly negligent? And only if the axe, if the owner knows that the axe is ferocious, he's wild, he's unrestrained. So as long as So in other words, if the owner knows that the axe is ferocious, that it's natural for the axe to kill, so the melee is mostly negligent. So that's the reason as to why the Torah says that if the owner of the Shiramweh, so is the Huyat Kinkra, Gambol of Limos, because he's grossly negligent. He's grossly negligent, especially in view of the fact that we said, we deduce from Rosh Rambam, that the Maisavere of not, of failing to exercise care of the Sheria is because if his woman is a mazik, is a potential mazik, and the owner doesn't exercise the proper care to prevent a hazard done by his woman, so then it's considered as a Romed Mizot, even though it's completely passive. So when can it be considered a Golem Mizot in a passive way? Only when he knows that the axe is wild, the axe is undisciplined, the axe is ferocious. So then, he's considered grossly negligent, and he's considered even a Golem Mizot, even though he's completely passive. But if the axe is to be presumed innocent, so that is not grossly negligent. Even though the Torah imposed upon him an extra care, but he's not grossly negligent. He's not criminally negligent. He's negligent, slightly negligent. But he's not a criminal. In other words, if he's considered as a gerim, so then he's a criminal. He's gerim is okay. And if as a result of his negligence, a human being is caught, is killed, so then he's a gerim of mitzichah, he's a ritzeach in a certain sense. So when can he be considered grossly negligent? Only when he knows that it's natural for the axe to go. But once he knows that it's natural for the axe to go, then he's grossly negligent and he's mechuyev kefer. Even though the axe is not addicted, he's not habituated to the killing of human beings. He's only habituated to the killing of animals. But if he's habituated, if he accustomed himself to kill animals, so it's a natural act for him to kill human beings. Even though he's not addicted to the killing of human beings. But it's already natural. But until he habituates itself, until the axe habituates itself to the killing of even animals. So it's not natural even for the axe to kill an enemy. If it's not natural, so it's not possibly negligent. Why is Gambol of Humos? Why should there be a Hiv of Kefa? So as far as the Hiv of Kefa is concerned, even though we regard the Hiv of Kefa, the Torah also distinguishes between the Shir HaMoed and the Shetam. So there it is, because by Shir HaMoed, so the owner knows that the axe, it's natural for the axe to kill. So the male is gospel negligent. So he's got more of humors. He's considered like a Ritzeach in a certain sense, in a passive way. And he should be high in Shemayim, like every Ritzeach is high in Shemayim, a Gomed of Ritzeach. But the Torah had compassion upon him and gave him an opportunity to redeem his real Ritzeach in Shemayim by paying Kefa. By paying Kefa. But the real Kefa and the real and the would-be Chiyu Bisele Shemayim, or according to Rashbam, the actual Chiyu Shemayim, not the would-be, so are based upon the gross negligence of the person. The gross negligence of the person depends upon the question as to whether the going was a natural act or not a natural act. If it's an unnatural act, if it was an abnormal, aberrational phenomenon, the fact that the Sheila killed the human being, so then it's not possible negligence. But if it was a natural phenomenon, the fact that the Sheila killed the human being, then it is possible negligence. So we are not interested in determining as to whether the axe is addicted to human beings or not. Even if he is not addicted, as long as it's natural, so he's grossly negligent, and if he's grossly negligent, so he got all of humors. Mimele, there is a chiyuv of kefa. Masha'im came, gabe, the halacha of becoming the mu'e, the pe'er of sholem. That doesn't depend just upon the naturalness of the act. There it depends upon a special halacha, that he has to be habituated to this kind of God. So then mu'e the rainbow is certainly not way more. But even with the Odom, whether he's considered habituated, so there is a machlokes between Rav Zvi and Rav Kofi, and the Rambam passes the Torah. So in other words, now we can understand why Rashi emphasizes so much regarding the Aloch of Mills have a book like a mashmal, the mood of the Odom have a mood of the Taymor, the mood of the Taymor have a mood of the Odom. So he only mentions and emphasizes an example of Arikas, three in the Odom. Of Arikas, three in the Odom. Rashi, of course, does not have the Yosef of the Rambam. Rashi has his own Yosef, that's our Yosef. But Gemara says, Umuhe the Odom, big word, Umuhe the Taymor have a mood of the Odom. Eloma! Eloma, who is the Mandona? Eloma Raps, Eloma Rapsim Kishor, actually, she is hobby. So Rashi Shiti is that where is according to the Rambam? So if it is a natural act for an axe to kill a behemoth, so it's also a natural act for an axe to kill an odom, Rashi Shiti is not like that. Actually, the other Yosef, the regular Yosef, the Yosef that we have in the Gemara, that since he's Odom Israel Mazel and the Hebrew Israel Mazel, so it's much more difficult for an axe to kill a human being than it is to kill a behemoth. So in Meire, if an axe killed three behemoths, so it only means it's natural for the axe to kill a behemoth. But it doesn't mean that it's natural for the axe. It's a normal procedure for the axe to kill a human being. Mashaike, if the axe killed three human beings, so then, if it's natural for him to kill a human being, it's certainly natural to kill a behemoth. That's why Rashi emphasized it. Because why did Rashi emphasize this? Because Rashi didn't want to mention an example of Hezek. Because as far as Hedek is concerned, the Chiyuv Nefek Sholem, vis-a-vis the Chiyuv Chotzin Nefek is concerned, so we have a machlokes between Rav Zvid and Rav Poppe, so then this is Kashi. So because of this is Kashi, so Kashi, why is this Gemara regarding the Chiyuv Kiyuv? So he said, That's why Rashi mentioned this example of Arida Sofa. Not a person. Now I just want to mention in the beginning
Shir Zayin and Baba Kama Kaf Alf El Hitov Shem Mem Beis September 9th, 1982 on Thursday.
So the Gemara is exploring which mazik is Lakhayim. So the Gemara first tried Karen, so then Karen is Lakhayim. He's called Rav Poppe, but maybe Rav Poppe is referenced to Shem Berek. So the Shiva is right. My You might move this law, even without the posik of Mishal Rego Asher Lechameya. I should say that Mishilach is descriptive of Rego, because it couldn't be descriptive of Karen, because Karen is mentioned. He can see, because the posik of Gubiya. So, without the posik of Mishal Rego Asher Lechameya, I should say that Mishilach is descriptive of Rego. It's in other words, we have to resort to the posik from Mishal Rego Asher Lechameya. Without the posik, I wouldn't know that the Shilach has reference to that. Why? I could say that both Ubir and the Shilach have reference to the same thing, to Sheh. I mean, that would even come within the Mashmuri Saposik. I mean, it could be explained that way. Not that it has. The posik has to have that mashmuyah, because the Roshna, because both are mentioned in the same posik. So, Vishilach and Uviyah, one is mentioned after the other. So, we could very well say that they both have reference to the same thing. Both expressions. To Shem. Why does the Torah have to use two expressions? Because there are two types of Ezekis that could be performed by the Shem. In other words, that the posik, the expression of the bia means consume. That means that denotes the chalikam when it consumes it completely. But Vishilach has reference to a hezek done by the Shem, but lo yichalikam. So it sounds like the Hashem, but mechalikam, lo yichalikam. Komashmilon. Now let's see the Rashi. Either either Vishilach will be a tavay Hashem. Vishilach also the chiyuvei and lo yichalikam. The mashma kin shochla hugo v'sefilar zeir v'mitzmeya. אבל לא היא כתחילו וביהי הנכד מחליקה דימשמע וביהי שמבייר גם so Rashi explains what does it mean מחליקה means when it's מבייר לגמרי when it's completely consumed let's say suppose the behime eats a crop of tue that was already harvested or straw that was already harvested. So we may read the Halikam. And that to beer. And Vishilach has reference to a case where the behemoth did not eat a crop that it was already harvested. But when it ate of shachas, that it was not as yet harvested. So melee, the damage is not complete because it's going to grow again. But it will, when it grows again, so will not be of such superior quality. So he says, Haneheche, so he says, Veheche, Vishilach also chiyulich lekalikam, Mashma, Kinshoch la, Hugo, Viseipi la, Arzeh, Ulitzmeach, Avalim kechatchile. וביהי הנהיכת מחליקן דמשמע וביהי השם ביילגן ויקש היכה מוצא ממהגי נביד השם הוד מחליקן הוד מחליק ליך תבחר because what is more obvious לחיים what case is the owner more obvious לחיים more likely לחיים מחליקן where the damage is complete מה שאם כן in the case אוכלה הוגה מסיכו מצמח but לא כי להתחילו so it's not so thorough. So the hezek is not as strong as in the case of mechalikam. So, because it's going to go again, but it will not be of some superior quality. So, mele, let the Torah mention just the posik of Vishilach. So we would know that even in the case of one mechalikam is higher, certainly in the case of mechalikam, treats im hay kwa ba mine hay os le ikh ne khali ab loy ne khali loy in ka khit lo meima va da ikh de vid a shen i love because rakh mon mi shal khay bashe so rashi says in the torah had mentioned just the shiva then I wouldn't know that the shiva is descriptive of when khali kam then I would say that the but where the hezek is not complete, is not thorough, so then he's not in mechuyev to pay. He's not in mechuyev to pay. So that's why, if the Torah had not mentioned Mishal Chareb Asher Lachamiya, then I would apply both to Shem. But then the more esek Hashem, the hash the Yuki, Aregel. But now that we do have the pasuk of Mishal Chareb Asher Lachamiya. So we say that Vishilach is descriptive of Regel. So then, Shem do mechalikam no long. How do we know Shem do mechalikam? As insofar as the posik of Rubia is concerned, so then he notes a hezek of mechalikam, Rubia consumed. In other words, Kashi Yivai Ragola Tume, completely consumed. So, and insofar as Vishilach is concerned, so that he deals, that is descriptive of Regel. So how do we know that the owner is chayev for Shem in the case of Rui Mechalikam? Do me the right. Ma Regel Rui Mechalikam, Rui Mechalikam, Av Shem, Rui Mechalikam, Rui Mechalikam, Ma Regel Rui Mechalikam, Rui Mechalikam, So, alright. Now, let's see the thesis. Hodu mechalika. Pirush hakulches shachar she'osim mitzmeach, avo lo ikar tchilot. Because homechalika she'gam abaytu mechelu mitzer. Even in the case where the behemoth devoured shachas, that's unripe to it. Shachas is unripe to it. So even in the case where the behemoth devoured hue, so that hue is going to grow again, but it will not be of the same, quality. It will be of inferior quality when it grows again, but it still should be considered as a hezek of mechalikano. It still should be considered as a hezek of mechalikano. Why? Because true, it will go again, but the violin could harvest the chahas and use it himself for his behemoth, and then to grow again and he'll have the crop that will grow again. So now he's mazikin the chahas completely, because he could have had both. He could have had the chahas and for his own behemoth and the crop that will grow again. Now the behemoth of the other fellow, so devour the shachas, so he'll have what will grow again, but this shachas was taken away from him. So it was taken away from him completely, it was consumed completely. It should be considered as mechalie, as mechalitam. Now that looks like a very strong kasha on the surface. So let's first see what is this. Yishlima, shetim for peiris lanos. That's not mechalitam, because the peiris is still bad, but except that there is a hezek, because people don't like to eat it. It's they just because they are low, they feel low to eat a peiris that the behemoth was mitani, that the behemoth stained. Mikol mokein kolei kamon mikifas peiris lanosa todo kiv nipashti kol ayam ba'achil mikhalikam. Because Bishwe may come to Rashi, that way Mechalikani also has reference to a damage done by the Shem, that's the art. So we understand that's why the Gemara says that we could apply both psukim, both expressions in the Torah, one to Shem, one to Mechalikani and Mechalikani. So we both are ours. But according to Tate says, that way Mechalikani means the Vapir Vanoso, that's mentioned in the Braise as a told of Shem. Here, what they told, is that which is not mentioned in the Torah, but which is similar to that which is mentioned in the Torah. So, how could the Gemara say that this is the Tolde, and that's the Pshat of the Pasuk? So Tesis says, Pashto Dikro, Ayre Ba'achile, the Mechalika. So in view of the fact that our traditional Dikro, so it is reference to Achille, I'll be Jewish on Mikro. So it has reference to Achille, even though, because if we said, you see, Tesis is now discussing it, if we didn't have the Pasuk of Mishalcha Reba Shev HaChamech, so then I would say that both expressions have reference to Shev. Now, Yabe Mish Sobi Oichere Veishilach Ezbiyo. Oh, so how does Rashi explain the Pasuk? So the traditional Mikro, this explanation, the traditional Mikro that Rashi mentions a Chumash, that's a limitance that there is a Pasuk of Mishal Rebbe Asher Hamida. So B.A. has reference to Shem and Veishilach has reference to Eretz. So let's see how Rashi explains. So the whole pasuk deals with Shemre. Ki yaberim sodei uchere. Ki yaberim sodei uchere. Ubiya. Kulo moshe beimo. Menachnu bereimo. Ki yaber. Yeleo beimeiso. Ubi sodei uchere shal chavere. ויד כיסי באחס משתי אלה. אוי בשבוע בירו, אוי בירו. So, ופיר של רבי סיני שלוח נזכה מדרח כף רגל, ובירו נזכה אשר ילחלת סיבייה. So the whole process of the Christian Sunday for Kiyabeli is so the Yechare, if a person will allow his behavior to cause damage to his Sede, to his Sode or Karen of his neighbor, how will he allow his behavior to cause damage to his Sode Karen? By one of two ways, either by means of Yishilach Hezbire, by means of Regel, or by means of Regel, Ubiya Bizde Yechare. Now, Vov can be involved. Vov can mean end, and Vov can mean all. Is sometimes Vov in the Torah is in Chaber, and sometimes Vov is in Chalik, not in Chaber. Here, okay. So, since Alim and Emes, so Yishilach has reference to the Hezek of Regel, and Bir has reference to the Hezek of Shen, so we have to say that the Vov in Ubiya is not in Vov Amchaber, but it's in Vov Amchalik. You see? So, or you could say, as a matter of fact, you could say that it's in Vov Amchaber also. It all depends, because the Torah says, Ki Yaver is Sode Lichayim. I'm just trying to explain the future so before. Ki Yaver is Sode Lichayim. If a person will allow his behavior to cause damage to the Sode Lichayim, how will he allow the behemoth to cause damage? So there are two ways. Vishilach has been erased by means of a regel, or Ubiya Bizyach. So if you want, you can say, I really don't know whether the Vov in Ubiya is a Vov Amechaber or a Amechalik. It can be explained either way. To cause damage to the Sode Acharem of the neighbor by allowing the regel of the behemoth to do it, or by allowing the shen of the behemoth to do it. Mitav Sodei or Mitav Mishal. So then the Vov is in Vov Amchalik. Or since the Torah did introductory expression in the Pasuk is Kiyaber. What does it mean Kiyaber? If a person will allow, it doesn't mean Yelich that you die. In order to be Mechuyev, he doesn't have to leave the behemoth. If he just keeps the door open, he keeps the door of the stable open, and the behemoth is allowed to walk out of the stable and then to step into the fields of his neighbors, so it's also Yaveh. So in other words, Kiyaveh. If a person will lead or allow his behemoth to go to the Sode Lechare, so, and he'll let the behemoth be mazik by means of Gayel, or he'll let the behemoth be mazik by means of Shem. So then the Vov of Uviya is in Chalik, means or. But since the introductory expression is Kiyaber Yisod Yecharem, and Kiyaber Yisod Yecharem modifies both Vishilach Hezbirei and also Ubiya Bizdiachem. So it can be Vov Amchaber also. Kiyaber Yisod Yecharem Vishilach Hezbirei. So in other words, if a person will lead his behemoth to the Sod Yecharem and he will let it be massive by means of mazik by mitzvah b'shem, so it's in the chaveya to the expression tiyagri sadecher. In other words, you can say it's involved in chaveya also. What is it mechaveya? Because it modifies the introductory expression of tiyagri sadecher. Oh, I don't make any difference. But that's the traditional mitzvah. That's the traditional mitzvah with the emes. That there is a posik of mishalch rei b'asher b'chameh. But suppose we didn't have a posik of mishalch rei b'asher b'chameh. So then we'd have to say that both expressions have reference to Shem. Bishirach has Birei, and Ubiyam is the Achia, has reference to Shem. So then, the Shutish al Mikro would be, even though we would say that Bishirach has Birei, has reference to Tim for Peres Lano, so that would be the drash. It would be implicit in the Mashmoyes Apostles with a drash, but with a traditional mikro, it wouldn't be implicit in the posik. Because the traditional mikro would be, that Kiyavari Sodir Harem, Vishilas Birei, if a person will allow the behemoth to do damage in the field or the vineyard of the neighbor, and he will send his behemoth, and that behemoth that he will send will consume the zeyachet. So what would be the pshutish of mikro v'shirach hasbirei? Not he'll send the regel, he'll send the behemoth. So in other words, then we put the pshutish of mikro mean kiyavu v'yisodei achar. If a person will cause damage to yisodei achar by sending his behemoth and consuming in the field of another. So Mikro Vishilach Esbirei wouldn't mean kill for Peres Lanoso. It would mean he would let the behemoth walk into the field and then consume the crop of the field. So the finish of mikro vishilach would mean nothing for Peres Lanoso, but shirik mashmoy. That it means he'll send his behemoth, and then the shen of that behemoth that he will send will consume the field. So the finish of mikro would be vishilach as the ear. Yeshua has Birei, he'll send it, not him for Peres Lanoso. But we could darshan from Yeshua has Birei also him for Peres Lanoso. But the Shuish on Mikro it wouldn't be, the Shuish on Mikro would be that he would send it. But we could deduce him for Peres Lanoso, because otherwise, if the Torah had not put in this extra expression in order to apply this another aloha of Tim Peres Lanoso, so then it's a purpose. Why did the Torah have to say all the other Israel? So the Torah could say, Kiyavan Yisrael Yecharem, Ubiyam Yidiyachem, that's all. So why does the Torah have to mention Yeshua Hezbirei? In order to advise us that even if the Hezek is done by Tim Peres Lanoso. But the Jewish of Mikro of Yeshua Hezbirei would mean he'll send his behemoth. So the Mele, so that's why it seems the Jewish of Mikro does not imply that. It's only the drash implies Tim for Peres Lanoso. So Mimele, Tim for Peres Lanoso is not called an av, and it's called it alone. This is what it is. Now, the Teisves on the surface, Teisves appears to be asking a very strong kasha against Rashi. Rashi says that Tim the Bein eats the shachas. Of the field, and the shachas, even after it is harvested, is also to grow again, but lo itibatilo, so it's going to chaleka. So this is the kasha. Why is it going to chaleka? Why? Because it's going to grow again, but of inferior quality. But if the behemoth did not eat it, so he could have cut it, and he could have used it for his own name, as fodder for his own name. So Mimele, so he caused damage, the value of the shachas, so it's still mechalikam. It's still mechalikam. Now, the Rashbo The Chidusha Rashba is in the Betta's mention. So he said, Al Kochoch Nirle Yibure Aramza Bishachas Vloin Chalikane Kol Shezora Litvo Yibure Aramza means Rashi. So the Rashba emphasizes the fact Kol Shezora Litvo. What does it mean? In other words, there are two situations. Sometimes a person he plants wood. He plants wheat. So at one stage in the growth of the wheat, so it's in a stage of shachas. It's not only machlok. A human being couldn't eat it, but a behemoth could eat it. So many people, many farmers, so they are accustomed when they sow tuah, so they make two harvests. One harvesting is for the shachas. Then it grows again, and then he allows it to grow until it becomes completely ripe. Until it becomes completely ripe, and then he harvests it when it's completely ripe. Some farmers. So when they sow a chatzilah that way, they're not interested in harvesting it for a spoiler for gain. In harvesting it is weird for men. So they don't cut it while it's in the state of Shabbos. So the Rashba says, he accepts the Rashi's pshat, that Loim Chalitane means Shachas. But it has reference, the Loim Chalitane has reference to a case where the person, the owner of the field, the farmer, so he sowed it for Tvue. In other words, he's not interested in harvesting this Tvue before it ripens, while it's in a state of Shachas, to use it as Tvue for the Behemoth. He's not interested in it. So this is what the Rashba says. What difference does it make what the kavone of the owner of the field is? The fact is that he could have harvested it. So true, he intended to harvest it in the state of Shachas. So what? Why does the Rashba distinguish between the case of Zora al-Menas Lipzerei say Bitvo, or Zora al-Menas Lipzerei say Shachas? So that has to do with a certain Mishnah case. The first Mishnah case that we have the base. So the Mishnah says at the end of the Mishnah, Kitzar in Shalmas Mashiziko, Shomim Beiso Beis Isod, Kamo Iso Yofe, Vichamo Yofe. So, So in other words, there is no machleket between Tanakam and Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is meisiv on Tanakam. In other words, so there is a law that if a behemoth, let's say, eats up pears, wishy, food that was already harvested, flies on the field, and then the behemoth walks into the field and eats up that crop of food. A soft wood that was already harvested. So then he has to pay the value of his soft. How much would one pay in the market for his soft wood? But suppose the behemoth, instead of devouring twe that was already harvested, so he devours twe that is still mechuber to the karka. So then, the Zerzakosophy, since the Torah says, Ubiyah is the Acher, why did the Torah have to mention Ubiyah is the Acher? What did the Torah say? Ubiya, not Mizriachim. Ubiya Shalachim. Of course, the halacha means that Shemregel and Yoshua's Rabbi is Potter. So the Torah could have said, Ubiya Biachim. Why Ubiya Mizriachim? So, to advise us that he, the Behem, eats Piris Mechoborim, twig that is still attached to the Karke. So then we assess the value of the damage in bulk, not in terms of that particular crop that the behemoth ate. Suppose the behemoth ate up a saw of pears, one saw of pears, that's a certain measure, a saw, one saw of pears, but it was mechuka. To buy in the market one saw of that food, so you would have to pay, let's say, $10 for one saw. So then he would have to pay $10. No, so the halacha is not okay. Because that's equivalent for the mask. In other words, because we are not since the hezek was done to the field in its entirety. The behemoth didn't eat up peiris slushi, the behemoth ate up one target. We are mishaya the price of each target in terms of wholesale of 60 takeh. If he ate up one kelach, we have mishaya the price in terms, also wholesale, in terms of 60 klochim. So 1/60th of that price. So that's the halacha. So in other words, that means that if the behemoth ate up one saw, and one saw individually, if that is on the market, he would get, the owner would get $15, but if he would, that kind of way, so then per unit, per saw, it would be $12. So then $720 for 60 saw. $12. So then the mazik has to pay only $12. So Shimon says, when we say that we have to be mishaya in terms of the price per unit in bulk, that's only if it's not right. Shimei Meir, Ochlo Peris Muri, Mishalemes Peris Muri, Im Sosai. That's what Rav Shimon says. If the Peris are completely right, but it's still attached to the Karaki, it tells them. So then we don't assess the price, the value, in terms of both, but in terms of the quantity divided. So, if the software is completely right, even though it's still attached, so he pays $15 in view of the fact that for that saw, he would pay $15. Alright. This is what Rashi says. Now you can understand the Rashbo. The Rashbo accepts Rashi's pshat, not his pshat. But the Rashbo emphasizes in Halikane is only in the case when it were in Halikane. The same example that Rashi mentions. Only if it's in Zoho Rishay Tvor, Nachrishim Shachas. Because if it is all Shintuo, so he is not destined to harvest it in the state of Shachas. He is destined to harvest it when it's completely ripe. While the Tvuya was in the state of Shabbos, the Hezek is not thorough, because even though the Behemoth did eat it up, so then, but because of that, but it's osit, litzmeach again, so osit litzmeach, avoloi kivatke. So let's take an example. Let's say, keeping the same figures. So let's say, suppose that 60 saw. Now, in other words, let's mention this. Let's say, suppose 60 saw, the owner would get, for 60 saw, the owner would get $720. So per unit, per saw, it is $12. That would be if this tvuyeh, wild tvuyeh in the field, was in the state of Shachas, it wasn't out. So then, he would be able to galvanize the maximum in that crop of tvuyeh. So if the behemoth did not devour the pears from that field while the tvuyeh was in the state of Shachas, then they would have ripened to the maximum quality. And then, for 60 saw of that tvuyeh, the behemoth had not devoured it, so he would have been able to get $720. So, per saw, Now that the behemoth devoured it, it's osit litzmeach again, but it will be of inferior quality as a result of the behemoth devouring it, so it's going to be of inferior quality. So the 60 saw, he would get only $360. I'm mentioning this example. So per unit, it would be $6. So, since the halacha is, the Rashba distinguishes between the case where the farmer, when he was a reya tvuyeh, he was a reya exclusively for tvuyeh purposes, not to be ketzer while it's a state for shachas, or if the farmer, the owner of the field, when he is a reya, so he is a reya al nas litzer b'shachas. In other words, because Rav Shimon says that when do we assess the value of the hezek in terms of wholesale in bulk, only if the peris are not perismur. But if the peris are perismur, even though it's attached, so then it's considered as if it had been harvested, if it's perismur. So perismur does not mean, that's according to the Rashba, perismur does not depend whether it's completely ripe or not ripe. Whether it's completely right for the purpose for which it was planted. If the farmer plants it, amnas litzer b'shachas, so it's destined to be harvested in the state of shachas, in an unripe state, but for behemoths it's ripe, just because it's not ripe for a human being. But for behemoths it's ripe, it's peres murim. So, should we consider it as peres murim from the perspective of Behemoth, or should we consider it as Perish Enum Gvurim, unlike Perish, from the perspective of other? It all depends upon the farmer, for what purpose he planted it with. If the farmer, the owner of the field, is Osit Likseya Bishachas, So he planted a tree for behemoths, to be harvested for behemoths, food for behemoths. So the male is considered as moi. If the farmer is the owner of the field, planted it, licked up it way, so then it's perish sheinung moi. It's perish sheinung moi. So that's what the Rajpa says. That's what the Rajpa says. The Rajpa was aware of Tesu's kashi. Tesu says the kashi, why is it considered moi mechalikane? It's also mechalikane. Why? It's also to go again, fine, it's also to go again. But the owner could have done the same thing for his own behemoth, not for the behemoth of his friend. So he could have harvested it, then he would have the chachas himself, his own behemoth would have eaten it, and in addition, he would have had the inferior crop. That is destined to grow again after this shachas was harvested. So it's mechalikane. Mechalikane. So the Rajbo is way of that kashi. So the Rajbo accepts Rashi's pshat and he applies way mechalikane to a case of a field where it was nisrei or mitvua, where it was planted exclusively as food for a human being. There are certain farmers who are not interested in cultivating the crop of food for them. They're not interested in that. They are only interested in cultivating a crop for human beings. So, since it was Nisriol, Lishim Tvor, not Lishim Shachas, not Lichter Bishachas, so. So then the aloche of so bisamachson, misharim so bisech samachson. In other words, we have to assess it in terms of bulk of the wholesale price per unit in bulk applies. So memele it's loy mechalikam. So that seems to be a very good territory on this discussion. That seems to be a very good terrace on the discussion. So the question is, just one second, please. So the question is, why is Tesis massive on Rashi? After all, Rashi's pshat is more cautious. Tesis pshat involves a certain deichat to say that the loy chalikane means tinfopiris lanoso, and that is really the telode. All right, so Tesis says it's called telode because it's not implicit in the pshat, it's only implicit in the drash. It involves a certain neichah, because whatever the Kiddush on the Kodrash, both are mashmoyis apostle. So why does Tesis reject Rashi's pshat? So we cannot say that Tesis asks against Rashi, because Rashi doesn't emphasize what Rashbo emphasizes. He says, Rashi doesn't say, Ken shoch la aruba, v'sei filavze ove litzmeach, v'habayli zora es asode, lishim tvo, loy lishim shach. So that means, so Tesis assumed that Rashi is reference to the case even when the Bailim planted at Lishim Shachas. Alright, if that is Tesis Kashi, so then Tesis would have accepted Rashi's Pshat, except that he would have to apply it with the Halikane to a case where he planted it Lishim Shachas. But Tesis says that Lima Halikani means Tim Fakir Lanoso. We cannot visualize the case of Achilas Peres of Lima Halikani. Because Achilas Peres is always the Halikani. So apparently it's Mashman, that's a big Chiddush. Apparently, it's much more from this way that even if the Bible had in mind when planted the tree to plant it alminas lipsay, alminas lipsay between not alminas lipsay mishachas, but in view of the fact there are many farmers who are kids of mishachas, So in Mele, it's considered like Peres Mule. According to the Rashi, since Rav Shimon says there is a difference between Ochlo Peres Mule, even though it's in the state of Mechuba, and Peres Mule, So according to the Rashi, if the farmer, the owner of the field, in the Bali, planted it on last leaves of the Shachas, then it has a din of Peres Mule. So then we are Mishayaret, not in terms of bulk, but in terms of the retail price. And according to the case is, even if we know that the buyer always plants the tree for the purpose of harvesting it as tree when it's ripe, he's not interested in harvesting it as food for the behavior. But since he could harvest it, some male seems he could harvest it, and as a matter of fact, I mean, just because the previous times a certain violin was accustomed to harvest it when it's completely ripe, it doesn't mean that he's not allowed to change his mind. It's not an idea for him. So if he can at will, I mean capriciously, he doesn't have even to explain why. If he wants to be chazer and to decide capriciously, from now on, I'm going to harvest it within a shachar. Even if the barley planted it, I'm an athlete, say a bit way. But since there are some farmers who are catered bishachas, and then the magic, the owner of the behemoth mazekes, would have to pay the retail price, not the wholesale price. So even in the case where the barley planted it, I'm an athlete a bit way. He still has to pay the retail price, the master. So that's why it takes the Esther against Rashi, but Rashi is not difficult. Right. Now, there is a Gemara. Now, the Mishnah Akimis mentions this aloha in connection with the case where a person, the Hemo, ate up, let's say, one saw of Tvue, Mechuba. So then, even though that one saw of Tvue would be worth in the market $15, but if when we are at wholesale price, so per unit would be $12, so he has to pay only $12. Now, how about a case where the Hemo eats up Tosh Mamish? But let's say, suppose that Hemi eats up 50 days, and the 50 days, so the retail price, when it is sold, just one date at a time, so it's one zuz a date. If one date is sold each time, so it's one zuz a date, but if it is sold in bulk, so the wholesale price of 50 days is 49 zuz. And suppose the behemoth ate up. So of course, if the behemoth ate up only one day, then of course the owner of the behemoth would have to pay one zuz. But suppose the behemoth ate up, there was a bag, there were 50 days, and the behemoth ate up all the 50 days. How much will the owner of the behemoth have to pay to the nizik? 50 zuz or 49 zuz? So there is a Gemara in Asher. Not only in regard to the Hemo, we exact 50 days. Odom HaMazik too, the same aloha applies to Odom HaMazik too. The Gemara in Asher is a call. That's how we can test on the bait. The fourth line. Omar Shmuel. So in other words, if somebody gathers a conglomerate of more, in all that more, in all the names are stuck together, a conglomerate of more, the Yizbochal Hamisho Hamishin Tam, and the whole thing, they are 50 more stuck together, one big ring of more. So, aber hadode mizavnim benun nake chode mizavnim benun. So if it will be sold, the whole conglomerate of 50 days is sold in the market at once, in other words, wholesale price is 49 zuzi. Nun nake chode, 50 minus 1, that means 49 zuzi. Chode, but suppose the mecher will sell each date separately, so then he'll take a zuz for each date. Now, and somebody gathered the whole conglomerate of dates. So how much is the gazel we have to pay? That's in respect to gazel, but the same aloha applies to mazik, in Marse. So hedyet, if a hedyet did it, I mean, if it was done, of course a hedyet always does it, but if it was done to dates that belong to a hedyet, not kedesh, so mishalei chamishim lo kechad, 49. Hekdesh mishalei chamishim lechumshah. Mishalei chamishim lechumshah. Mashenike, if somebody took a conglomerate of dates that belong to hekdesh, somebody was magdish dates. Magdish dates. So there is nile. So in other words, so he has to pay meal hekdesh, so he has to pay keren, he has to pay chidesh. So then he has to pay 50. And the chidesh of the 50, not the chidesh of the Lord 9, but the chidesh of the 50. Why? So because when somebody gazels or someone is magic, so the chiyuv is for the value of the thing that was mazik. So since he was mazik, he gazled 50, and 50 when 15 sold. So then he gets only 49 zuz. So Meir of Hesek is 49 zuz. It was one nice exile and the whole conglomerate. Because it's not that he gazled or he gambled one day, then a second day, then another day, 50 days. It was one magic name, and one thing. So in Mele, he pays 49. But by Hekdesh, the Mechayev is the name in Hekdesh. So since he gathered from Hekdesh 50 dates, and let's say, if Hekdesh would like to sell it, I mean, how can Hekdesh sell? Through pidyon. I mean, Hekdesh, when Hekdesh sells, so it has to involve a process of pidyon. So if Hekdesh were to sell it through a process of pidyon, so Hekdesh could get 50 zuz for it. In other words, it would be paid each day. Hekdesh, the gizber, could be paid each day separately, and then sell each day to the kedah, to the painter, separately. So Mele Hekdesh would have 50. So Mele, if he gathered it from Hekdesh, so he's annoyed. The one who gathered from Hekdesh is also 50. So Mele has to pay 50. So then the Gemara says, Kashe, Matzi, we have vida, but Rabbi, le Hekdesh, am I Mishalim Chamish in Lake Chode? Am I Mishalim Chamish in Lake Chode? Namely, I know, Chode Chode, have a Mazbin alone. Why do we say that the Hekdesh, he pays only 49. Let the music say, why should I get only 49? After all, I could The mitzvah should say, I could have sold it to 50 customers, and then I would have gotten 50 zoos. So he was mafsig me, 50 zoos. That's the Gemara's kasha. In other words, what halacha is mentioned by Shmuel? That when he gazel, or he mazik, and this is the same halacha, when somebody gazels, when somebody is mazik, so according to the wholesale price, it's 50 zoos. I'm sorry, it's 49 zoos. According to the retail price, it's 50 zoos. So how does he have to be charged? Is he liable in terms of the wholesale price or in terms? And the whole boat. So the halacha is that he is liable in terms of the wholesale price. Why? But the Gemara's kasha. Why only in terms of the wholesale price? Let him be liable in terms of the retail price. So the Gemara says, "Omar Abuna Kleid Abishua, Shomim Beiso Beisiso." So this halacha that is mentioned in the Mishnah, even though this halacha that is mentioned in the Mishnah is mentioned in connection with Pedes Lechobore, but we can deduce with Rasvore this halacha also, because true that this there's a kosher has reference only to Pedes Lechobore that are still not murim, but if the Pedes are right and they are murim, so then he pays the retail price not in terms of both. So that's only in the case where the behemoth eats up only one saw. So the behemoth didn't eat up 60 saw. You see. The behemoth didn't eat up 60 saw. If that posik, the posik doesn't deal with the behemoth, Ubiyab is the achaya, so the posik doesn't deal with the behemoth that devoured 60 saw. The posik deals with the behemoth that devoured one saw. So without a special sasakosov, we should say he should pay the value of one saw. After all, he didn't devour 60 saw and one saw on the market. So he would get, the mecher would get $15. Let him pay $15, not $12. So as a sasakosov, that even though the behezek was done and not on bulk, the hezek was not done on bulk. The hezek was done only on one unit, not on bulk. But since he's been chaborim, it's not right. So he assess the damage in terms of bulk. So that halacha, that we assess the damage in terms of bulk, even though the hezek was done on a unit, not on the bulk. So that is limited only to a case of pelei she'enam murim. Pele is anymore. But if the Pele is Agmuri, it's already right, and it's literally Kalke, and the Hezek was done on a unit, not on the whole boat, so he should pay the value of one saw. The value of one saw in the market is $15, he should pay $15. Masheike, in the case where the damage was done on boat, not just on one unit, but the same thing that was damaged, the whole bulk, all the 60 saw that were damaged, that could be sold in individual units, and then we'll get more. So then, even if it's peres murim, even if it's detached peres, so we have to be mishayot in terms of the whole supplies. So from that zirzakosov itself, we can deduce that when the damage is done on a unit, and that unit has two prices, that unit has a wholesale price, let's say the saw itself can also have two prices. Let's say you can sell one tenth of the saw. So then, when you sell a whole saw 10 times, and each customer one tenth of the saw, so you'll get more, the maker will get more, and you can sell the whole saw at once to one customer. So from the fact that the Torah says that even when the damage is done just on one saw, if it's strictly karke, so you have to be mishaya in terms of 60 saw, So that indicates that where the damage is done on the unit, and the unit has two prices, a wholesale price and a retail price. So even if it's Perez Gurin, even if it's Plushy, so he has to pay only the wholesale price. But where the damage is done only on a unit, and not on the whole boat, so then there's a difference between Tzrichli Karaka and Tzrichli Karaka. But we see that this here Sakosov implies that if something has two prices and it can be sold in wholesale and retail, so the mazik only pays the wholesale price. So apparently the machlekes between Teisves and the Rajbo is, the Rajbo shiti is that since there is a halacha of shomim b'so, b'seit b'so, b'seit samach so, shomim kelach, b'seit samach kochim, so the mele, the Rajbo shiti. But this halacha applies only to Perushim. But Perez Gurin doesn't apply. So when the Behemi eats up shots, that from the perspective of Behemi, so it is already for my Behemi. So it's already Perez Gurin. Perez Gurin. From the perspective of a human being, it's Perez Gurin. So the question is, so according to the Rajbo, and that's probably Rashi Shita too, so according to the Rajbo, so it all depends. In the volume of the Sode, plants that were wishing shachas, so then when the behemoth devours at the state of shachas, so then it's considered a spirit's mood. A spirit's mood. But, so then it's v'chalika. Then it's v'chalika. But if the volume of the Sode is accustomed to sow it, to plant it, wishing t'vue, not to harvest it before it completely ripens. He's not interested in cultivating the crop for behemoths. That's not his concern. So then, if the behemoth devours it in the state of shachas, according to Rashbo, it's considered like perishing mui. And if it's considered like perishing mui, so if it's considered like perishing mui, so in the melee we have to be mishayaret in terms of samachso. How much would be the price per unit? So the mele, it's loy mechalikane. It's loy mechalikane. And Teisa says that it's always mechalikane, because Teisa shita is that even if the buyer always plants it, which is true, but since there are some farmers who harvest at the state of shachas, and this buyer too, even though before, every time, every year, he harvested only when it was completely ripe, but he could change his mind at a time. So the mele, the nizik, the balasone can say, I want to be paid completely for the software, even though in the past I didn't harvest it, but I'm at liberty any time capriciously I decide to harvest it in the state of Shachas, I can do so. So the mele it's Perez Gurin. That's the machlekes between Rashi and the Rajbo on one hand and Tesis on the other. Alright. Now let's see the next piece of Gemara. Omama, Ubi Azrashe. So how do we know that it will be a Rishen? Because Kashim Vayar Gola Tume. But if we didn't have the possibility of Vayar Tume, I wouldn't know that it's descriptive of Shen, so more as Kashim is, similar to the Kashim 4. Even without the possibility of Vayar Gola Tume, I could deduce that Ubiya is descriptive of Shem, because what else could it describe? Hold on, look. My kingdom, I care and see, I regal see. Is Saul, Kedai, Behamine, Idri, Da Rege, Hodi, Ozuli, Mele, Hodi, Sholach, Shluch, Komash, Melon, Komash, Melon. Because the term Vishilach means he sent. It doesn't mean he sent that he has managed to push the Behemle and force her to go. It means if he's negligent, he leaves the door open and then the Behemle is at liberty to go to the circle. That means Vishilach. So I would say, but, so that's Saldad Hamini de Aregia. Hold yours in the mail, so I would say, if we didn't have the positive of Kashi Vaira Golatume, so that, then I would say, so that the both had reference, Vishilach and Ubiya both had reference to a case of Regel. But, Vishilach has reference to a case of Sholach Shluchim. And it means Dafki if he sends that case. And Ubiya also has reference to Regel, but doesn't remain. He just was negligent in letting the Behemoth go, even though he did not deliberately send the behemoth to the Seah, to the Komash. So now since we have the positive viable Atume, so we know that the beer has reference to Shem, not Regal. But without the positive viable Atume, I would apply the beer also to Regal. But, of course, we may. The hash to the Inca Shem, Regal goes on the mail and go on, maybe you cannot. Maybe the Torah was in Chayev only when he sent the name. How do we know? So the Gemara says, do me the Shem. Mashem v'lishti sholcho shluchem v'lishti rego v'meire. Regel, sholcho shluchem v'lishti rego v'meire. All right. So the Gemara says, we learn it out from Shem. Now, so that means that, how do we know that regel, also the male is higher, the Yalkusi from Shem. And similarly, how do you know that Shem, that when the Chali Kame is higher, the Yalkusi from Regel? So, that means that Shem, when the Chali Kame, Alibdemes, we know he's higher, even though the Torah didn't mention in respect to Shem itself that he's higher in Yom Halikam, because the posik that is expressive of Shem is Ubiya has the connotation of Mechalikam. How do we know that Shem is higher in Yom Halikam? Because of the Alfuse from Ibn Matzinu from Regel. Ibn Matzinu from Regel. So there is Ishita that the Miri mentioned. So the Miri mentions a very interesting sheet. It's not difficult, but it's interesting. So he said, that sheet is based upon the fact that the Gemara says that if there hadn't been a Yalfusi from Regel, so then I would say if the Torah had only discussed Shem and had not discussed Regel, and the Torah had just mentioned to be of the Achayah, then I would only know Mechalikah. Why do I know, how do I know that Loi Mechalikane, that Loi Mechalikane is also Chayev? Because Zumye the Regel. Regel is written in which posik? Regel is implicit in the expression of Vishilach is the Achayah. Vishilach. So in Mele, then the Gemara says that Vishilach by itself has the connotation of Sholchoshua. Not was in Mele. How do I know the Regel is higher if it was in Mele? Yalkus is from Shem. But as far as the expression Vishilach itself per se is concerned, It only has the connotation of Shomash Lochem. So by combining these two facts, that Veishilach by itself has the connotation of Shomash Lochem, not Ozan Nehemiah. Does not imply Ozan Nehemiah. And the other fact, that the expression in respect to Shem has the connotation of Mechalika. So how do I know Lo Mechalika Rav Hashem from Yalfuse from Regel? From Yalfuse from Bishilah. But Bishilah by itself implies only Sholach Shulchan. So true, we learn out Shem Lo Mechalika is Chayim, but since that is deduced from Bishilah, from Regel, and Bishilah per se has the connotation of Sholach Shulchan, so the final analysis Shem loin chalikarne is chayev, but only if shilach shulchan. But also in melee, Shem loin chalikarne is possible. That's what he said. V'yeish nish seseyver bozeh derech shoy, shein chiyu b'shein shom chalikarne, ele kishishol chohu, v'chein ozlo in melee. And the same thing is true, of regel. Because what's the expression that deals with regel? That's Vishilach. But Vishilach itself has the connotation of Sholach Shulchan. How do we know that Regel is Chayef in Moslem and Melee, Yalfuseh, from Shem? That's a beer. But beer by itself has the connotation of Mechalikah. So the Melee, these Gashem say, V'chein Azle and Melee, Ein Shom Chiyube, Ela Kishiyesh Mechalikah, Ho Kishishtau Chom Yileo, Ve'ein Shom Kilo Akeren Pot, V'yike Advorim, שאב בישטאו חד מיר יש חלק כאן לצ'יטי שאב בישטאו חד מיר לאו בישאין שם כאילו הקרן חל זה נגד לגד because on the whole so it means the chen is high in all situations and regular is high in all situations so it means on the whole so the pshuti shall nikho vishilach is not shoha shoha but it is even as the memele that vishilach is not to be understood in the Pshuta Shal Mikro, so it's not to be understood in the sense of deliberate sending, but in the sense of letting the behemoth go. But the other Shemim, they hold no. The Pshuta Shal Mikro Vishilach means Vishilach is sent deliberately, not he just was negligent. He's negligent. So the melee, in the case where it was negligent, so the posik, the previous mikro of Yishilach doesn't imply that it's chayev. But why is it chayev? On the basis of his special droshe, of his mamatino. So the mamatino is from Shem, from Ubiya. But Ubiya, the previous mikro of Ubiya, is mechalikane. So the male regel, that is, as of the male. As a male, and when Halekame is possible. And Chen, that is not the Halekame. So it seems is deduced from the Shilach, from Regel, from the expression the Shilach, so it's only Haye. If Shomcho, but not as a mere. But the mere is Chesed. Alright. Now the Gemara continues. The Lich, the Machmone, the Shilach, the Boy, the Mashma Regel, the Mashma Shem, Mashma Regel, the Mashma Shem, 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 so why do we need the possible beer? Let the Torah just mention Vishilach and Shilach implies both. So you must see what you say, Rabbi Amin, So the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Me'ad neshkulineh, v'yom v'yom shneyeh, dehei minayeh, mafkis, yisrich. So, kedai b'cham nehanim lehi chedisholash lehi. Avlos would be a lori, Komashmiron. Right, see the Rashi. Avlos Mechalikane. No. מה רגע לא יש לו כסיבי הביע? מה שם לא יש לו כסיבי משילה? אוי אוי אוי, רגע משילה, אני כמות של אבו של אוי, אוי שם משילי, שאני אוהב לזה כל. So you see what I said last time. So, אוי אוי אוי, רגע משילה זה כמות, אבו שם לא יהיה. But שם is also לוחם. The answer is, רגע is more than לוחם. לוחם means natural. But זה כמות so means more than natural. I mean, that's the usual thing. That's the usual thing. Something else with that would not have been the usual thing. If the behemoth wasn't massive, it's the usual thing for behemoth to step up on something that is in its way. Alright. So the obeyshim vishilavim mafkes leoshim shovim. Says no, we couldn't. It's, so the Gemara says this, it's called like Hamineh and Sholash Shulchan. Avalos no Mimele Loi, so that means, Komashmo, so that means that in the case of Sholash Shulchan, so we could learn out everything from the Shulchan. But Oslo Mimele, we couldn't learn out everything from the Shulchan. Or, Komashmo Biyah, Chimach Lashen, Mimele Biyah, Azirego, Vyalkin. Or, now let's see the faces. Rod in the Chalita. So Teitz says the same kasha as Rashi, but he gives a different teretz. Rashi has the same kasha. It's Gimorah says that he's the Torah, have not mentioned Mishal Chereko Hashem Lechameya. If they hadn't been the posik of Mishal Chereko Hashem Lechameya, so then I wouldn't know that Rego Yisrael, because I could apply both expressions. Ubir and Mishilach. To Shem, one Mechalikame, that's a beer, one Mechalikame, Mishilach, so Rashi has the Kashi, let us mention just Mishilach. So that's one Mechalikame. So Mimele Mechalikame, the Kalachemia is certain Mechalik. So Rashi, the Teretz in the Torah just mentioned Mishilach, then I would limit Mishilach also to Mechalikame, not the way Mechalikame. Take it as another Teretz. יש לי נעד, אבל מי נעדף כדי שילח שלכם, כדי כמה. דו מדרגע. So, what does Gemara say דו מדרגע? The Gemara has the kasha, the hashte, the yukim נערגע, הוא שם דו מחליקה ממהלות, after all, שם is deduced from ביה, ביה has the connotation of מחליקה. How do we know that שם, לא מחליקה, the owner of Israel? So it's in המוצינו, from רגע. מה רגע לא יש לי מחליקנו, לא יש לי מחליקנו, אף שם לא יש לי מחליקנו, ולא יש לי מחליקנו. So this is the kasha, how can we say to you the רגע, the name and the name of the Yifre? In other words, we have one posik, the Shilach, that is descriptive of רגע. We have a posik of Bia that is descriptive of Shem. Now, the posik of the Shilach, so the connotation, the common connotation of the Shilach, the common connotation of the Shilach, so is that it includes everything. Loi mechalikam and mechalikam. The common connotation of Rubia, so is that it is referenced only to mechalikam. So the question is, how do we know the Shem, Loi Mechalikane, that is not implicit in the common connotation of Bia Yisrael? So we learn it out from Rega. So the discussion is, why should we learn out Shem from Rega Lechumre? Let us learn out Rega from Shem Lechumre.
Shir Vavim Bava Kama Yutas L.A. Toshim Mebe, September 7, 1990.